Come, Holy Spirit, come by the most powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Our first reading this Sunday began with this heartfelt cry. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. The prophet Habakkuk was describing what he saw in his own day. But I think we could also say he's describing what we very often see in our own day. When we look out into the world, when we pay attention to what's happening, when we perhaps, you know, watch a lot of the news or are really in touch with what's going on in the world, very often what we see is violence, injustice, suffering, hatred, poverty, crime, evil. And I think very often we can relate to this sentiment of the prophet. How long, Lord? Why are you letting all of these things happen? Why don't you do something? It's an honest prayer to cry out to the Lord in the face of injustice, asking him to do something. But I think one of the lessons of our readings this day is that sometimes the Lord is responding, I have done something. I created you. You see, very often we just want God to do everything for us. But God wants us to do things with him. He wants to do things with us. He wants us to be his co-workers. One of the obligations that our faith puts upon us is that we are called to work for justice and peace in the world. We are called to address the wrongs that we see in our society. But I think sometimes we respond in kind of a different way. We say, well, I know there's a lot of problems in the world, so I'm just going to kind of live in my little bubble. I'm just going to focus on my life and my family and my work and just really not pay attention to what's going out in the world. After all, what can I do? I mean, honestly, what can I do about wars going on in, you know, different parts of the world or the terrible crimes of injustice that we see? But that's not the attitude that our faith should instill in us. That's not the attitude that St. Paul tells us in our second reading. He said to us, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. God did not give us a spirit of hiding, of fear, of cowering before the forces of the world. But rather, God gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. The Holy Spirit that we have been given is far more powerful than anything in the world. And if we respond to this call, we have the potential to change our society for good. One of the areas of our society that perhaps is most in need of conversion, of truth, is what St. John Paul II referred to as the culture of death. We live in a society that doesn't respect and value the dignity of every single human person without exception, regardless of their age, regardless of their wealth, regardless of their capacities or abilities. Today, the church in the United States celebrates Respect Life Sunday, and this whole month of October is dedicated to intentionally striving to promote respect for human life. Because we have all been created in God's image and likeness. without exception. And we are called to be a people of life in all of its forms, in every situation, to promote life. But unfortunately, we live in a society that very often doesn't promote life. And there's so many ways in which we see this. Abortion, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide. People don't often think of contraception, but that's a rejection of new life. Human trafficking. Most people don't even realize that human trafficking and slavery is a huge problem in the world today. All of the mass shootings that we've seen in our society in the last couple of decades, the incredible poverty and destitution that so many people live in because people don't give them the care that their dignity deserves. And we could go on and on and on. We have a responsibility as Christians to do what we can to bring about a culture of life. And it starts in our own everyday life with how we treat people, with the respect that we show them, how we promote in our own lives the value of every single human person. Our faith gives us the power to transform the world. Do you believe that truly? If you don't, or if you struggle with it, then the apostles give us a very beautiful prayer in our gospel today. Lord, increase our faith. Such a simple and yet such a beautiful prayer to ask the Lord to increase our faith in His power working through us to transform the world. And we do that not only through our action, through politics, through voting, through being engaged in our community, through helping people who are less in need, as I said, through how we treat people. But there's another area of our life that is so powerful, so important, but one that we truly need faith to believe in, and that's prayer. Prayer is what will change our society. Prayer is what will change the world, because prayer is what changes us, and we first have to be converted before we can convert others. I want to just briefly talk about another aspect of this month of October that many of you perhaps are aware of. Traditionally, October in the church is the month dedicated to the rosary. The rosary is one of the greatest tools that we have been given to pray for peace in the world. All throughout the 20th century, every single pope, whenever there was a war during World War I, World War II, whenever there was great conflict in the world, the popes have asked us to pray the rosary. It's one of the prayers for peace, for justice. It's a prayer for the family. It's the single devotion that's been encouraged and promoted more than any other by the church, by the popes, and by so many saints. And it's a prayer that can help us grow in our faith. It's a prayer that can help us grow in our respect for life. As we turn to Mary, who's the model of faith, who believed that what the Lord spoke to her would be fulfilled. As we meditate upon the incarnation, about Jesus living in the womb of his mother, helping us to grow in appreciation for every human life. But the rosary is also a prayer in and of itself that requires faith. Because very often, it doesn't always really speak to us on an emotional level. We all get distracted. It can all at times be boring. It can easily seem monotonous. We don't always see the immediate effect. It requires faith that we believe that when we ask our mother to pray for her, pray for us, she does. And she brings our prayers to her son. And that has the power to transform our hearts and to transform the world. And I just want to particularly encourage praying the rosary in the family. Now, I know many of you have kids and even young kids, and that seems like a lot. Well, here's my suggestion. Here's my perhaps invitation. For you as a family, as spouses, pray at least together one decade of the rosary every day. It takes 3 minutes. Every family has 3 minutes. And then as you get used to that, as that becomes a habit, add a second decade. And work your way up according to your capacity as a family, what your children can endure, it'll seem like to them. But teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray the rosary. Because the greatest single cause of all of the problems in our society today is the breakdown of the family. I've told you before that statistically, the single determining factor of poverty and crime in our country is broken families. If we want to save our society, we have to save the family. That's where it all starts. Healthy and strong marriages and families lead to a healthy and strong society. But without prayer, the family is going to be bombarded by all of the lies, all of the evil, all of the messages of the world. The family that prays together stays together. And so pray, not just individually, but together. And in doing so, we will be converted, we will be motivated, and we can go out and bring about good, bring about justice and peace and love and healing in our society. Because we've been given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and Jesus wants us to go out and change the world.